The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome once again to God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski, as the announcer just said, and we're with James and Jeanette Flood today here on the program. They are devout Catholics, clearly, and welcome to the program, first of all.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Jeanette, where'd you grow up?
I'm from the L.A. area in California.
What brought you to Cleveland?
I went to Franciscan University of Steubenville, and while I was there, I met James. He didn't go there, but we ended up dating, and then we ended up here 15 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear so many vocations and stories about Franciscan University. I've mentioned this to a different show that we were taping earlier today. It's an amazing place, clearly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I loved it there. Absolutely.
James, what about yourself?
Well, I'm from the Cleveland area. I grew up on the west side of Cleveland, and then later on we moved to Bay Village, and then I moved to the Steubenville area when I was 13.
Okay.
So, yes, and we made the circuitous route back to the Cleveland area. You know, it was Baltimore, and it was San Francisco, then Baltimore, and now finally back to Cleveland, yeah.
Where did you grow up exactly in Bay Village? I mean, how did you grow up in Bay Village?
Exactly. We were on Electric Drive on the east end of Bay Village.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, that was, yeah.
Morning Mass or Sunday Mass, morning Mass, daily prayer, those sorts of things. How did you grow up in the home?
Well, I was raised Catholic, and we usually went to Mass on Sundays. There wasn't a lot of Catholic formation growing up. I would say my mother had a very simple faith in Jesus, which had an influence on me. At a pretty young age, you know, started hanging out with the wrong crowd, and I left any traces of practicing my faith at a fairly young age. By the time I was, we moved, we actually left the Catholic Church, and my family started going to a Protestant church.
Mm-hmm.
That turned out being providential, because that Presbyterian minister played a crucial role in my coming back to turning my will over to God. And because I was close to the University of Steubenville, I ended up meeting and spending a huge amount of time with students there. And that was ultimately what brought me back to the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
So my conversion back to practicing the faith was when I was 16. My conversion back to the Catholic Church was when I was 21.
You weren't gone long.
22.
Jeanette, what about yourself? How did you grow up in Los Angeles area?
Yeah, I grew up in a Catholic family. We always practiced. My parents split up when I was 5, but they got an annulment, and they both loved the Lord and the church. My mom became charismatic when I was about 7, and I had a difficult time at school, which actually ended up giving me the grace of learning that Jesus truly is my best friend when I was only 7. So that was kind of a really special experience. And growing up in the charismatic movement was great, because it fostered my faith. So I ended up going to Franciscan because it was charismatic. And I went to a youth conference, and I loved it there. And it wasn't until I got there that I realized I didn't have a lot of great formation in the faith. I mean, in some ways I did. But I got a big boost there. And then after college, we moved to San Francisco to actually be living in the same city before we decided to get married, not in the same place. And I ended up working at Ignatius Press.
Okay.
And that was kind of a culture shock in a way, but also great formation.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm older than you guys, but you know, formation was because I said so.
Yeah, right.
Well, yes. Yeah. If, in our era, that formation began to dry up. The formation was, you know, Jesus loves you, be nice to one another.
Mm-hmm.
That was our
And don't judge.
And don't judge.
Definitely
don't
judge.
Good rules.
Yeah, right.
James, I know you're quite a musician. Mm-hmm. Did that draw you toward Franciscan? Did you give lessons there? I know you're a guitarist and give lessons. And
yes. Well, actually, in a way, yes, it did. Because at the time of this, what I described as my conversion at the age of 16, it was a gradual process that started actually when I was 14. 16 was when I finally said, okay, I'm following God now. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't long after that. And I was very interested in the contemporary Christian music scene because I was a musician. My mother told me about this young fellow that she worked with who had a Christian rock band, as she described it. I went out to, they had this little performance that they gave in Steubenville. So I went to that and yeah, that's how I met them. And then they invited me to join their band. So I started rehearsing with them at this monastery that they were, that had been vacated by whatever religious order, and they mm-hmm. were using it as this sort of like Catholic lay community place. And so that's really my introduction to Franciscan University of Steubenville and the charismatic movement, which was very important at that time to Franciscan University and had a huge impact on my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a charismatic anymore, but at that time it was you know, just what the doctor ordered.
Jeanette, you were at Franciscan at that time?
Yes. James was
later
not.
On.
Oh, okay.
James,
well,
yeah, I went to, yeah. He got involved in high school. I came in college.
A little bit later, yeah.
Yeah, we were both in Steubenville.
Yes.
Yes.
So he wasn't actually attending there. We met through
right.
kind of some coincidences through mutual friends.
Yeah, so the Presbyterian pastor that I mentioned, he met a friend of Jeanette's on the plane. She was wearing a Steubenville University sweatshirt. He introduced her, thought that she'd be a good match for me, and so he invited her over for dinner and invited me over for dinner. She
and then Anna Mary, so Jack Wald was the name of the Presbyterian minister, and uh-huh. Anna Mary, my friend, said, I met this pastor on the plane. He wants me to introduce me to someone, but and I think he's who he says he is, but, you know, he might be an axe murderer, you know. Would you come along, you know, just in case? And I said, sure, I'll die with you.
Oh, that's true friendship.
Yeah, and she said, and I'll let you have the guy if you like him better. So
she made good on that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Well, great place to pause for a moment for a commercial break. We'll be back on God Calling right after these messages. Thanks for staying tuned. James and Jeanette Flood joining us on God Calling this week. I'm Paul Orlowski. And you found out on that first meeting with James, he was not an axe murderer.
Right. Nor was Jack, yeah.
What happened next?
It was just a fine dinner, but afterwards, Jack gave Anna Mary and myself the Myers-Briggs personality test.
Oh.
And then James was also singing and playing the guitar. And by the end of the evening, I found out that James and I were the exact same personality type. And I liked, you know, it was not love at first sight. But by the end of the evening, I thought, I can marry that guy.
Wow.
Because I just loved how he, we were also both sharing stories, anecdotes. That was kind of our personality. We had a lot of similarities. Both of us come from broken homes and
yeah,
we have a lot of similarities, our backgrounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you know that you had made that much of an impression that first night?
No.
Or did you hope so? You probably hope so, right?
Well, you know, at the time, I looked at both of them as possibilities. When I had the chance to see them again during my, I think it was spring break, I called her friend Anna Mary and said, hey, do you guys want to get together or something? And mm-hmm. she said, oh, well, I'm on a date because we're having our whatever dance at Franciscan tonight. But, oh my gosh, Jeanette doesn't have a date.
Yeah.
Could you take Jeanette out? And I was like,
thanks,
oh,
Anna Mary.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So you know, we met and we had our date. It was awkward at a little bit awkward at first, but then we just spent like probably 4 hours talking. which, you know, that night walking around the track or the baseball diamond or something.
Yeah. We weren't actually at the dance for very long.
Yeah. And so that became the pattern. We could just talk forever and made each other laugh. Yeah.
You have a musical background. The two of you are, I should say this right out. This is not why you're here, but you support The Rock, which is very nice with the music. Music school in Westlake, Ohio, right there on Detroit Road. I go by it all the time. Do you share musical abilities or just enjoy his?
I took 10 years of piano, but I learned that, you know, when he was getting his master's in classical guitar and professional musicians would ask me, I learned just to say, no, I don't play. They would say, where do you play? So, yes, I love music, but I'm not a professional.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the business, the kids coming in these days. Do they all want to be rock stars, or do they like classical guitar?
Well, I mean, the business, we teach an awful lot of instruments. You know, I have 30 teachers teaching piano, guitar, you know, violin, all of these things. With regard to rock, I mean, with regard to the guitar, rock is much more popular than classical. But it's not just rock. It's all jazz. Kinds of styles, jazz, folk, fingerstyle, whatever. But yeah, I mean, the school that we have, there is an emphasis on classical, which is easier to attain with instruments like piano and violin. But we're flexible. But we like to bring people to a classical foundation.
Mm-hmm. You play some at St. Clement.
I used to. Okay. Yeah, I was the choir director, music director there for many years. But I just to devote time to the business, I resigned a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Westlake Music Academy. Are any of the kids interested in religious music? Organ, things like that.
I don't hear that often, but somewhat. Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. There's a kid that wants to do something Christian. Yeah. Now, I suppose it's possible that they're a little bit shy about it. Maybe they'd like to, but maybe they feel a little shy having their teacher work on that, you know, with them.
Sure.
One of our daughters, four of our daughters take voice lessons at our own academy, and one of them is working on a religious piece right now, and she feels comfortable with her teacher. And we also have adults, so we've had people who wanted to learn a specific song for their daughter's wedding or that kind of thing. So we do have that. Sometimes.
When it comes to classical vocal music, it's usually Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, it's religious. You were talking about going back for 300 or 400 years, so that's an easy backdoor to Catholicism and Christianity, because you know it's all religious. You know,
I can still play Wipeout on the guitar.
Really? Oh, cool.
The only song I know.
Okay, good.
That's
good
it. Tell me about your daughters.
Well, we have six kids, ranging in age from 29 to 11, 5 girls and 1 boy.
And you've been married 34 years?
30, yeah, almost.
33.
33
well,
and a half.
You never know, by the time of years, maybe.
Yeah, right.
You do some, I know, I'm looking up some background on you guys, you post a lot of interesting things, and you're not afraid to put Catholic messages out there. How did you get involved in that?
Well,
we're called to evangelize anymore.
Right. Try to keep this brief. I worked for Ignatius Press for 25 years, in-house 2 years when we were living in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I continued freelance as an editor and proofreader. And, you know, it's kind of like getting almost like a master's in theology. I read, you know, so many books, 100 books at least, in the faith. And I usually read them twice. And then we also joined Regnum Christi a few years ago. And one of the main things that Regnum Christi emphasizes, in addition to charity, following the church, is evangelism, being an apostle. Mm-hmm. And so Vatican II said, the laity, we share the missionary call to evangelize. And then growing up charismatic, that was also emphasized. Mm-hmm. So about 10 years ago, I started writing. I moved from editing to writing, and eventually I started a blog, and then I wrote a book, and then I started writing articles. I started off with Sherwin-Williams, but then I started moving to, Catholic World Report came to me and asked me to write some things, and then said, feel free to pitch us ideas. So I have with them and with National Catholic Register and some other places.
You wrote a book.
I did.
That's an interesting, great title. Eight Ways of Loving God as Revealed by God.
By Love Himself. Yeah. We actually have a copy in there.
Oh, okay.
To give to Bernadette.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, she will probably tear it up. Tell me about it. What are the eight ways?
The eight ways are trusting Him, praying or spending time with Him, telling Him we're sorry, obeying Him. Sorry, I got those in the wrong order. Loving His family. What's the next one? It's suffering, but it's kind of like suffering with Him, I guess. Mm-hmm. Following Him and evangelizing.
Yeah. And evangelizing, as you say, Vatican II called us to it.
Right. So it's kind of like repackaging the Catholic faith in terms of God's love languages.
Yeah.
Like, why do we have to do all these things? It all comes down to because we love God and He asked us to. And if you want to show love to God, this is how to do it. You trust Him. You spend time with Him. You obey Him. You know, and I base it on the scriptures, the example of Jesus, and the catechism.
If you guys can stay tuned, we'll be back right after these messages on God Calling. James and Jeanette Flood joining us on God Calling. And to finish up about your book, Jeanette, Eight Ways of Loving God, told by Him. Trust, spend time with Him, obey, etc. But I think a lot of people trust in God and then maybe they're sorry they did this or that. But I don't know if any of us spend enough time with God. We do a Eucharistic adoration the first Friday at my parish and also every Tuesday. But there's not great numbers of people, you know, and you got to have a schedule so somebody's there all 24 hours. And do we spend enough time just stepping away from the rat race and just thanking God?
Most of us don't. And I think that that's crucial. In a way, you could put praying first because it's primary. But I think that if you, for whatever reason, don't trust God, you're not going to spend that time with Him. So mm-hmm. That's why I covered trusting first in the book. But prayer is essentially our lifeline to God. You know, we're grafted onto the vine, right? And prayer is the way that we keep that communication open. Otherwise, we dry up and we fall off mm-hmm. the vine.
James, in her writing the book, did that draw the two of you closer as she thought about these things and tried to put the words down? And were you a help?
I mean, I never thought of it in terms of us bringing us closer together, but we did talk a lot, you know, mm-hmm. somewhat. Did we talk a lot about it as you were writing?
Yeah, and he shows up in the book a lot.
That's good.
I made sure of it. No. What I did find was that when the book came out and I was able to read it, I started using it for my morning meditations, and which was very interesting because I would forget that I was reading, you know, the words of my wife. I was just, you know, taking it in because there's just so much wisdom, you know, in that book.
You didn't know you were that charismatic, or what's that? Evangelization.
She's very wise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's very wise. That's
at least on paper.
No, she's very wise in general. So yeah, she has that gift.
That's all from God. Yeah.
Now, in running a business, do you have trouble sometimes stepping aside? Because you say, how many instructors do you have?
30.
Well, that's a lot of work. A lot of paperwork, I'm sure, with
yes.
tax forms and all this type of thing.
Yes, and so reframe your question.
Just wondering if you ever, you're so busy running a business with all those employees, do you actually have time sometimes? Do a couple of days go by and you say, you know, I really haven't just sat down to...
Yes, that can happen. But I started, and really as the students from the University of Steubenville started me on this habit when I started Regnum Christi, that reinforced it. But it's part of my daily schedule to spend time, do a meditation, preferably in the morning. Sometimes it's a little bit later than that. There's time for prayer every day, and it's a commitment I've made and started when I was like 16, 17 years old. So it's just crucial. I mean, I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have that habit.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. But rosary, daily rosary, meditation, time before the
sure.
Blessed Sacrament. Try to go to Mass, daily Mass. Don't make it every single day, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in the book I cover the different types of prayer, and I mentioned that the Mass is the most powerful prayer.
Sure.
But personal prayer is the most vital. Because you can go to Mass, you could sit there and be like a Pharisee and just be thinking about how you look or thinking about whatever, you know. You can fake that, but it's a lot harder to fake personal prayer.
It's actually a troubling term by today's standards, but in the old days when I was a kid, a lot of the older folks talk about, I got to go hear Mass.
Oh, yeah.
Hearing Mass, not praying Mass, but hearing
it. Yeah.
By today's standard, that's an odd way to And I would put
It showed, there was...
You need to be actively
participating.
Yeah, exactly. Some of your articles that you've published, a lot of women's issues, and also probably the most controversial thing today of fertility awareness and all this gender stuff. And how do you formulate your ideas on these? Back to just basic Catholic teachings? Or?
So some of those articles were requests. I have a good friend, Mary Rose Somariba. She is editor in chief of Verily, which is a it's a wholesome women's magazine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not explicitly Catholic. She also used to be the editor of Natural Womanhood, which again is not explicitly Catholic, but is talks about fertility-based awareness methods of spacing children. And so some of those she approached me on those. So the question is, where do I get my ideas?
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's just seeing what's going on, or people that I've talked to. A friend shared with me that she had left her husband because he had been abusing her for many years.
Oh, dear.
So that ended up becoming an article with the Register about spousal abuse. But everything I base is based on the Catholic faith.
My wife would like this one. Making the prophetic voice of women heard.
What year was that?
Deborah Savage is somebody that you talk about in that particular one. But the role of women in the church has certainly changed in recent years, clearly for the better. Fewer nuns, but lots more women into evangelization and taking part in services and such. Would that be a spark, something you might think about, consider? I saw this already, but...
Yeah. I'm actually blanking out on that one. But I think that some of my art, like I said, some of them, people ask me to do them sometimes. Mm-hmm. I feel called by current events to speak up and say, hey, you know, we need to think about this. But so I think I personally grew up, while a devout Catholic and a charismatic, also kind of feminist. And it wasn't until I got to college that I really saw that the feminist movement was diametrically opposed to the faith. Mm-hmm. And so I do believe that women have been oppressed at times in the past, and that we still have some work to do, but I wouldn't call myself a feminist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's interesting with all the voices going on. It's like, okay, I don't believe in women priests, but women are part of the church, and so what is it that God wants us to do?
Yeah. See, I gave her a spark, and off she goes. That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's right. James, Jeanette, thanks so much for joining us on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski, and we hope each and every one of you listening will listen each and every week at this very same time right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show, or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, AM1260TheRock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM1260TheRock.com.